Good morning. Today is Thursday. It's Thanksgiving. Hopefully everybody's fairly well aware of that. Joining us this morning from the California Highway Patrol, always on the job, Paul Kraft.
Yeah, I appreciate that assumption that I'm always on duty.
Always paying attention, always looking.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. So we're going to probably do our normal ritual. All right, maximum
food credit.
Food weekend. Okay, we're done.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. And we'll talk about the new boss just for brief. But before we do either of those, are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Yeah, I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to look over your shoulder and read it.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Why do we say put your best foot forward?
So this has to do with when you're doing field sobriety tests, and we instruct you to put one foot in place and then put that best foot forward when you take the first step. Pretty sure that's where that comes from.
Yeah. I thought you could play with that one.
And speaking of field sobriety tests,
yeah.
What is the real answer?
For a period of several centuries, European noblemen and wealthy gentry were greatly concerned about the beauty of a person. They affected ruffled sleeves, powdered wigs, black satin knee breeches, and full-length hose above buckled shoes. Many of the idle rich were quite vain and took pride in showing off a good pair of legs. So some went so far, and it's just tough to read. When I'm thinking legs on Thanksgiving, I'm thinking turkey legs. And
Easy transition.
Yeah. Some went so far as to give preference to one leg as being more attractive than the other. Such a fellow wanted to make the greatest possible sensation at dance halls and balls. So he found a place where he could stand with his best-looking leg and foot in front, where it would attract many glances.
That's
so goofy.
Wow.
By the 16th century, a person wanting to make a good impression knew just what to do. He put his
best foot forward.
And by doing so, helped to create a phrase with which we still use.
There is zero chance I ever would have come around to that as a possible guess.
No, you're not. But not steeped in the 16th century.
I skipped that in history class, I guess. I feel much more educated today, so I have more info to forget after I eat turkey.
The purging.
Yeah.
The great purging.
I'm excited.
Probably don't want to say that at Thanksgiving, though.
Huh? I'll try to keep it all down.
Yeah, okay. So you guys so we did maximum enforcement. Drive safe, drive smart, school's out.
Get to where you're going to eat
your
Thanksgiving
in the morning.
Meal safe.
Yeah. Is there anything else we need to touch on?
Look, nice weather, so that's less of a concern with the driving this year. But I think our big thing for us is Captain Morse couldn't be here today because he's in Sacramento. He's pulling double duty. He was given a new position in the area down there.
You mean he's leaving us?
He will be leaving.
It's about like 1 year, maybe?
Yeah. It's been a little bit longer than that. So maybe close to a year and a half or so. I can't remember exactly when he started because the whole ending of COVID was still a weird time not that it's ended, but you know, as we've transitioned, there's still a skew on time for me.
So he's out of here.
He will be leaving.
He's a short timer.
Yeah, but he's going on.
I can start bagging him to a higher position.
A better thing for him. So he's going to be closer to, I think, family and friends that he has down there. And
do we have somebody higher in the pecking order? That's my concern. Otherwise, I'll bag on him.
I think it's a lateral. It's not a promotion.
What a bad move. Okay.
But
who's backfilling? Somebody we know?
Larry DP. Who is the lieutenant commander for the Crescent City office right now. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's been in Garberville, too.
I think everybody has been, right?
Yeah. He will be coming in, promoting, and taking over the Humboldt Area Command January 1st,
I believe. At least Larry's a local guy, so maybe he'll last longer than that last local guy that decided to bail on us.
Name
of Jaeger.
I'm sure
Adam.
That we will get him in here, maybe even for the Christmas special, and then have him tell what his hopes and goals and plans are for us.
Well, if he goes home, he doesn't have far to go.
No.
Being a Crescent City kid.
Yeah.
Or no. Is he Crescent City or is he Smith?
We'll ask him.
Yeah. Well, he's a Downlord kid.
Drag him in here and make him answer.
Yeah. Oh, I got him a couple of times when he was when we had the stations in Brookings. He was one of our commenters.
Yeah, I believe you've mentioned that you've talked to him before.
Yeah, so and he's been in here too. I don't know if it was with you or was it previous?
Not with me, as previous. Maybe with Matt Harvey.
Nah,
so I know that he's familiar with the station here and what we're doing, so it's not a shock to
and
him
the
that
personality
we have
associated there with.
Yes.
But he probably isn't as familiar with gumbo.
I'm going to introduce him.
Better.
He might have had gumbo. He and I did not, even though I worked for CHP when he was here as a sergeant a few years back, we didn't get to work together because I was at Drug Task Force during the time. So we were able to speak and talk when I would go by the office, but I never worked directly for him during his time here. So I'm looking forward to it. I've heard a lot of good things from current officers working for him. I'm going to start buttering it up now.
Yeah. Well, butterball and turkeys. I mean, okay, fine.
So we'll make sure he's listening
but
to
but
this.
But his office isn't going to be nearly like what his current office is. Have you been up to that edifice? Holy Toledo, did they overbuild that thing.
Maybe eventually we'll get something here.
What, two, three-story?
Look what he accomplished there and got that one done, so.
Yeah, I think it had something to do with proximity to a federal prison. I'm not sure we want that here.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it'll be a fun transition. You know, it's bittersweet to have Captain Morris go because he's done a great job here and enjoyed working with him.
He seemed like a regular guy.
Yes.
Except for that one to go back to Sacramento. I don't.
Yeah, that's not for me either.
No.
Rather stay rural.
Yes. Absolutely.
But big things.
Okay, cool. So maybe we'll get both of them next month.
Wow, that would be, if we could time that, be crowded in here. I wouldn't even have to come. Just let them come. And
that's right.
And I'll sit and
push
eat
on it
on the other side of the window, just eating gumbo, watching.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, okay.
Good times.
Yeah, well, it would be as long as you shared it, but apparently you don't share things that well.
No, I'm putting in an order. I'm going to have some hot gumbo coming up. So my goal is for Christmas this year.
All right.
Yeah.
And a little crab on the side. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning. Turkey with Paul Kraft. So
I thought we were talking alligator.
Could be.
And crawfish.
Now, what is the difference between crawfish and prawns? Is it the name? Just a name?
They're probably, I think it's a different species of crustacean, but it's probably more about way they feed and where they grow up.
Okay.
That's a smart question that you're asking me to answer.
Well, I figure you're from the Caribbean generally, and that's kind of where these things live. They don't live off
I know coast. What I eat.
I got shrimp.
But history behind it is another thing.
Ooh, you never put prawns inside of gumbo, though, do you? It's always shrimp.
You can put shrimp in there. I just don't. If I'm doing it without crawfish,
you
or we don't
seafood?
Have anything in there, I'm not. I mean,
you
I'll,
like chicken
I'll
and
eat
a,
shrimp, but
chicken
for
and
me,
alligator?
Yeah. If it's not crawfish, even if I put crawfish in, I always have chicken and probably some sausage in there too. But I think we've talked before. Every once in a while, I'll get some alligator tail to saute and throw in there for the protein, but just not big on shrimp in my gumbo. Just not the right flavor.
Well, you put it in too long and you got little rubber balls.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very sensitive to how you put it in. And if you do, it's got to be at the right time.
Right. So what is Cajun traditional for Thanksgiving?
Well, the last year I was back home, we still had turkey and ham, which I love, and probably what we'll have today. But
so what do you treat
gumbo for my great grandmother?
Do you cure it, or do you put any of the, like, you know, some people put the maple stuff on it and others put syrup or, you know, something comparable
to
that?
It was usually glazed because my grandmother would usually be the one cooking the ham, and I've never done it there. But what I've done is just getting a pre-cooked ham and I put it in the smoker instead of warming it up in an oven. I'll warm it up and cook it in a smoker for 2 or 3 hours to let it heat up that way and add that extra smoke. And then you have a smoked ham.
A smoked ham?
Yeah. Because I don't really like the glaze either, but I never told my grandmother that. I just prefer that salty, smoky, sweet ham.
Do you use the different woods?
I've been experimenting because I got a new smoker.
Can you tell the difference?
You can. Okay. I've noticed a difference between lump charcoal that I've been using, and the different brands apparently will burn differently too and give a different flavor to it. Versus using traditional charcoal. So the smoker I have is a gravity-fed smoker, and so it lets the charcoal burn down and heats it like you would with a traditional smoker, or you can turn it up high and do direct heat for like a grill. So,
but the cherry woods, the apple woods.
Yeah, I like to throw some pecan wood chips, and I'll mix it in, so I'll throw like a layer of the charcoal in there and then wood chips and do it that way, and I'm finding I like that better than using the natural lump charcoal that I'm just finding it burns really fast and will fill up your ash bin fast, but flavors are...
Will you soak it with the water?
No.
Get the steam?
I've read that some people do, but with this system, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But it can help preserve to make it burn a little bit slower, but it can affect your temperatures too.
Well, sure. Yeah, it's
good. I'm not an expert. This is all stuff I've only learned in like the last month and a half since I've been doing it.
So
I watched a lot of videos and a lot of guys on YouTube doing
it. So I have to give you another 6 months before. What I was wondering is, I know some guys use moisture for the chips so that it smokes rather than, than burns. Is there any influence of the type of liquid?
That's a good question. As far as maybe you soak it in like some apple cider or something
instead
of water. Yeah, you
could do something like that, or maybe like the liquid smoke to put a little flavor into it. Or I suppose if you're from Virginia, maybe bourbon. Just, you know, those different types of things, or it would be better to inject it into the ham and just kind of have it.
The only time I've soaked my wood chips are when I had just an electric smoker, and you're only having a small bin of chips in there at that time. And so you do wet that so it does create more steam and it doesn't burn, the wood doesn't heat up and burn into ash so quick. And so if it's a long burn, it'll stay more complete. But with this gravity-fed smoker, it's burning those wood chips, the charcoal and the chips that we put in there, it's burning it in a canister on the side, and a fan blows the heat and directs heat into the base of the grill. So it needs to burn to actually get that heat and the smoke in.
Do you use the same method with a turkey?
I haven't done a turkey with this one yet.
Oh, just the ham?
Mostly. The ham I did last year with the electric smoker that I had, and that just had a box, and I used the pecan.
So this is your first time to roll out the big boy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not cooking this year. My sister-in-law's boyfriend is doing the ham. My mother-in-law has the turkey. I'm bringing drinks and probably
oh boy,
a pie. Whatever's in the fridge this morning.
Yeah.
If I haven't eaten it already,
because
I can go through a pumpkin pie.
I was talking with a buddy this weekend. You like chocolate pie?
Oh, yeah.
This is a, I got to find it because when I did it, I think Winston might remember it. It's like chocolate pudding and Cool Whip whipped together and then just poured into one of the preform, whether it's the graham cracker or the Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
Let it set up. That's it. The comment was sugar overdose. I don't want any. It's like, okay.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Take one for the team?
Yes.
Yeah. All
Anytime.
Right.
Anytime.
You know, I knew
but
you
dessert,
were that.
For sure.
You were that kind of guy. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Paul Kraft is alongside. No, we're not doing cops and robbers today. We're doing more fun stuff, more appropriate, more timely.
Welcome to the Humboldt Food Network.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
There are too many.
Do you have to edit that part out? Is that is that against the law to use those words together?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's just building up expectations.
Oh.
I'm not sure we could ever achieve. Oh.
No, but it's worth a shot.
Yeah, yeah. I am going to take another run at a cranberry bread. I did. Yeah, for me, this is not traditional, obviously, for Thanksgiving, but neither is stolen, and that seems to work out pretty well.
Hmm.
I did first time, and it's one of those real quickie, easy ones, right? So instead of worrying about making your own cranberry jelly, you find your can opener.
Yeah, huh?
And you swirl it inside at a certain point, and then it kind of it mixed in, not like a jelly roll, but it's mixed inside instead of settling to the bottom when it's cooking.
Yeah.
And you get the right crunchy, light crunchy on the outside, and it just nailed it. It was one of those first time. Nailed it.
Uh-huh.
Second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Doesn't,
ain't there.
Doesn't come out the same.
It all settles. Yeah, I got to.
What did I do different?
You know, and there's no written record of what I did the first time, so I'm going to, each time it's like I'm starting all over again trying to figure this thing out. But I think that's, what's the traditional breads for you?
Wow. Cornbread. I can have cornbread any time of year.
Now, do you leave the corn in, or is it cornmeal?
Cornmeal, and then I'll add a can of, depending on how big the batch is, but I'll add whole corn and just a couple of
cob
scoops.
Cob and all?
Okay, whole corn off the cob.
There you go.
And then a portion of a can of cream corn, and you just get some really good flavors in there.
Cream corn?
Yeah.
What does that bring to the table?
A sweetness, a real good sweetness to that cornbread. But, you know, I like to add butter and honey anyway to my cornbread, so it kind of might cover that up a little bit. Probably not as big a deal to add that in.
This is more of a decadent cornbread than a dry cornbread.
And you have to adjust your liquid a little bit when you're mixing it just because you're getting the liquids from that cream corn.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, it's time to eat. Is it lunchtime yet? Oh man,
That's one of the dangers, right? I mean, as you're baking and making, you're sampling and taking. Yeah,
yes.
And
you know, I found myself watching the cooking shows a lot more lately, and I've tried a couple experiments recently too, trying to find something to add to our menu. But it was recently it was a dessert. But I saw a lady in one of the cake cooking competitions.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, she added like a jam into a layered cake and mixed up this icing concoction. I'm like, I could do that. And it was not the same. I tried to go off a memory of what she had done, and then like the jelly settled to the bottom through the cake into the bottom of the pan.
Yeah.
Didn't stay in the middle for that filling. It wasn't quite.
Well, even if you layer it, I think you probably need to have a certain amount of either baking powder or soda. It just, you know, kind of keeps that poofy.
Yeah.
And doesn't allow it to permeate and just to kind of fall through.
I realized that afterwards and figure the show was probably edited where I did not see everything that she did. Just that final product looked amazing and seemed like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to win that show next year because I figured this out.
Piece of cake, right?
Yeah. Mm, yeah, not quite. I mean, we ate it all. Don't get me wrong. It still went down.
But it's still, I mean, you don't want it to be the soggy bottoms.
No, I'd do it different next time.
Yeah. Well, good. Then once you've perfected, then you can bring it in and we'll do a little on-air talk about it.
Right. We need to start doing this with the plates lined up and then we can like.
Yeah. Dressing or stuffing?
Yeah. Bigger on the dressing.
Okay.
I think we talked about this before, but I have a family recipe for dressing that my dad has passed down from wherever he got it.
You use a lot of Tony in yours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of Tony Chachere's. We got a long list of ingredients in there, but I think I brought some in.
So what's the strangest that you'll put in? Do you do oysters?
Oh, no. Sorry.
No.
For oyster lovers. I'm not big on oysters. This won't have seafood in it unless we have added some pre-cooked crawfish in there before. So if you do a crawfish boil earlier in the season before that ends, save some of the tails, throw it in a Ziploc bag in the freezer until the holidays. And then you can mix that in with this dressing that has, pulled chicken, deboned chicken.
In your dressing?
Yeah. A little bit of sausage that's in there that crumbled.
So a lot of
mild
meat,
or hot sausage.
A lot of meats are throughout all of the recipes.
Meat, cornbread,
Cornbread dressing.
So, dressing will make a big old couple pans or one big pan of cornbread.
His arms are wider than his shoulders at this point, saying how many he's doing.
For the listeners at home.
Yeah. So when you do it and then you freeze?
Yeah. The recipe that my dad passed to me makes a huge two-pan batch. So you usually have one pan on Thanksgiving. Another one gets cooled down and goes in the freezer, maybe cut it up into quarters, and then you can pull it out periodically.
Nibbles for the rest of the week.
Because it's a meal in itself, really.
Oh, yeah.
So you could sit and I have eat that for dinner for weeks after.
As long as you hold on to the gravy.
I don't like gravy.
You don't do gravy on
it? No, I want to taste the food. I don't want that slop on top, unless it's biscuits and I put a white gravy on there.
Slop on
top. Or a chicken fried steak. No brown gravy, white gravy only. Just a little bit of salt and pepper in there.
So that's really the biscuits and gravy, not a turkey gravy.
Yeah, no, I never was big on the turkey gravy.
So what liquid do you put in your dressing?
Chicken broth.
Okay, just regular chicken broth.
Yeah.
That's
although I recently tried some vegetable broth, which I hadn't tried before, and it had a really good flavor to it. So with my dressing, I might add that this year and use a veggie broth in there.
Save a chicken.
Listeners at home are just going like, what are they talking about? Or where can I get some of
that? Right on. Yeah.
I'll have a booth set up in front of the CHP office on December 23rd through the 24th.
But I didn't hear mushrooms in your dressing.
No, my kids don't like mushrooms. But
neither do mine, but I still put them in there and the
they'll
dressing
never
disappears.
Know. Yeah, I just have celery, which...
Yeah, celery and onion. Yeah.
Celery and onion, and what are the little crunchy...
watercress nuts?
Yeah, the watercress.
Really?
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I don't like those, and I don't put them in, but my dad's version, and he does, he adds them in.
So what happens when those things get baked? They disappear or just?
Just softens up and it's just adds another layer of texture to it. I don't really notice a texture difference between his and mine when we make it. So it's the same thing with the celery. You know, if it wasn't cooked enough, it would be crunchier, but it gets really softened in there. And
all the moisture and stuff. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft about food. Is there a traditional pie, Thanksgiving pie in the Cajun culture?
Yeah, well, pecan pie seems to be a pretty popular one in the
South.
Yeah,
but you said you don't like it.
I did. I have said
so
that over
and over
again.
So what do you go to, like a lemon or a chocolate?
No, pumpkin or sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. My grandmother typically would have a sweet potato pie at Thanksgiving, and we had pumpkin pie in October when you're doing pumpkins, but at Christmas, so she would alternate them, but always had. My aunts and uncles were always there for all of our dinners and the holidays. And I think I was the only one that was eating those. Everyone else had pecan. It's just something I could never...
The crunchy?
Never take.
It's like, say it slowly, soft-shelled crab for me. Mm. So I don't want my soup to crunch. Crab is diginous. That's it and that's it. Don't screw with those long, spidery things out of the Alaska area. And don't give me that stuff from the East Coast. You know, crab is, when it's cooked, is orange. It's not blue.
There's something for each of us that we can hang our hat on and be like, sorry, it's just not for me.
Yeah. Now, I would love some time to do a New England clam bake. A real deal on the beach and do it the way it's supposed to be. I think that would be just an absolute kick, but you know, where are you going to find one of those big pots?
I'm sure the celebration itself and that coming together community for something like that is nice, but clams is just another one of those things that.
It's not there for you.
No,
I'm not a clam fan. I like clam chowder though.
Yeah. No.
Raw oysters, no.
I probably just won't eat it because it says clam in the title, and it's like, well, maybe it's good, and if you're clam chowder lover, God bless you. It's
all right. I'll, New England, not Manhattan.
I'll get the
gotta be the cream.
Progresso corn chowder. Is that blasphemous to chowder eaters?
I'll tell you that's what it is, and you just look for that one grain of corn, that one kernel that's in there while you're pounding down.
You're gonna trick me.
Yeah, well, cream of mushroom, clam chowder, they're kind of in the same neighborhood. So I nail one, then you just put the other in there.
Yeah.
And there's probably like corn chowder too.
Yeah, I've never made any of those either, so I'm not sure what all the ingredients would be in that, how that comes together.
I can tell. We got a whole year worth of figuring this stuff out. Yeah. Got a couple of soup cookbooks that I'll bring out. One surprise for a Thanksgiving meal that those of us who grew up on the West Coast would just be flabbergasted by. Is there anything that comes to your mind?
Look, I mean, probably only once or twice really in my youth living in Louisiana did we have it, and that would have been the alligator. It's not like you're looking at an alligator on a table, you know. It's the meat's either
like
fried
the fish
or in
that
the,
you see laid out sometimes.
Now, yeah. You can, because the website that I order stuff from directly from Louisiana, you can order whole alligator and to do like the same thing you would with a pig on a spit. You can do it with the alligator or smoke a whole alligator.
And you get a pair of shoes when you're done?
Yeah. Most of it, it's skinned. So it's got the head and that's like left intact.
But the rest of it's been skinned already. That's like. No, I won't even.
But look,
say
I've never done that. Okay. It's been tempting, but I mean, I've eaten alligator plenty, and that would probably be the oddest thing.
You buy like a pound of alligator meat or something.
Yeah, a pound or two, and then either saute it before you add it into maybe a gumbo or a jambalaya or something, or so fry it.
It's more of a soup protein than a barbecue.
I prefer
protein.
It that way, not so much on its own.
All righty, bud. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Safe drive over the hill.
Thank you very much.
And back.
Enjoy your time with your family as well.
All righty. Same to everybody else. We'll see you tomorrow.